Let me see if you can recognize this most memorable of movie quotes. Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. Marriage. That blessed arrangement. That dream within a dream. And love, true love, will follow you forever. So treasure your love. Skip to the end. And isn't that what we want for our marriages? We want our marriages to be a blessed arrangement, a dream within a dream, which is a completely different movie. But that's what we want. And we are certain that that priest got it right, that the key to that is true love that will follow you forever. As those great purveyors of wisdom back in 1988, Van Halen said, everybody's looking for something. Something to fill in a hole. We don't think a lot. We don't talk much about it. Excuse me, we think a lot. We don't talk much about it. Till things get out of control. We want something to fill in that hole, and we are certain that Van Halen has the right answer to it, that the answer to that is true love from another person. If we can find that person who will just love us truly and love us forever, then everything will be all right. But how do I know when it's love? And Van Halen responded, I can't tell you, but it lasts forever. And that's what we tend to believe in our society today, that if it's real love, it just always lasts, and it's always strong, and it's always wonderful. But how do I know when what I'm experiencing right now is really that love? How do I know that what I'm feeling is that true love that will last forever? How do I get that? How do I find that? Well, unfortunately, many of us are like Johnny Lee back in 1980, looking for love in all the wrong places. And not only that, we are learning about love from all the wrong sources. Here we are in our culture today, and there's all kinds of messages that are coming to us about love and about marriage and how we can make it work. We see it on TV, we go to the movies, we watch it, we turn on the radio, we hear songs about it. And all of these messages are coming to us about how to find love and how we can have that true love and how our marriages can be that blessed arrangement. And I am concerned that we're getting all the wrong lessons and all the wrong messages. Because in the end, we have two choices. We can either learn from our society and our culture, or we can learn from God. And so this morning, what I would like to do is I would like to spend some time taking a look at those two formulas. I want to share with you Hollywood's formula, which I am afraid sometimes we have allowed to get into our subconscious without realizing it. And then I want to talk about God's formula. A few years ago, my good friend Terry Francis, many of you met him when he came and led one of our singings. He preached a sermon on this very topic, and I really loved the outline. And since he told me he stole it from a book, I don't feel too bad about stealing it from him. But I want to share with you some of the things that I learned as he and I talked, and I hope that it'll be very beneficial as we talk about how we are often looking for love in all the wrong places and how we can turn that to the right place. Before we do that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father, we love you. And even though at times we struggle and at times we get confused, and even though at times we get distracted by what's going on in the world and what's going on in our lives, we understand that you really are the true source of love. We know that you are the true teacher of love, and what we want in our marriage is to love our spouses as you love us. We want to love our kids as you love us. We pray that we can pass that on. Help us this morning to compare our lives to what we're finding either in Hollywood or in your word, that we might root out the mistaken notions that have sometimes crept in and latched hold in our hearts and our minds, that we can get rid of those so that we can walk by your word, and that we can have the kind of love in our homes that you have for us, and that you've asked for us to have even within this family, the family of God, your family, and your household. Help us, Father, to understand and to bring you glory above all things. We love you, Father. We thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I also want to welcome you. Thank you for being here, and especially if you're our guests. We appreciate you coming in this morning and joining with us. We hope that you have been uplifted and edified by the worship we participated in so far. Inside that program, there was a white card. We would love for you to fill that out so we can let you know how much we appreciate you being here. However, if you're a little more tech savvy and you don't want to get out a pen and write on that card, you can text the word welcome to the number that you see on the screen. It's also on the back of the program, and we'll be happy to send you that connection card via the phone or something like it. And we just want to let you know how much we appreciate you being here. And I love being a part of this congregation because we are a congregation that is concerned about what God says. We recognize that the world is funneling messages to us. And we need to have a place where we can get away from what the world is saying. We can open up God's word. And that's a place that I have found here. And I have no doubt that if you continue with us, you can find that among us as well. We want to open God's word. We want to talk about the fact that far too often we are looking for love in all the wrong places. We're learning about love from all the wrong sources. I want to compare with you for just a moment Hollywood's formula. Hollywood. And when I say Hollywood, I'm just talking about the media, whether it's the movies or TV or the songs. I'm just talking about what we see in our culture and our society. And then following that, we're going to compare God's formula to it. So we're going to be opening up our Bibles in just a few moments, but I hope you notice that as I share with you Hollywood's formula, I can't find it in the Bible. So I've got my Bible right here. We're going to get that in just a second. But right now, I have to share with you what the world says about this. And then we can compare. Hollywood's formula. Step one for Hollywood's formula is find the right person. Find the right person. Somewhere in the 7.6 billion people of all the world is the one person that is for you. And if you can find that one person, then all your hopes and dreams will come true. Our children are taught this very early. Whether it's through Snow White singing, "Someday my prince will come." And we recognize that there is that one person. And whether the person is born a prince, as in the case of Snow White or Cinderella, or maybe that person was born a street rat, a thief, a beggar, a bum like Aladdin, but he's going to become the diamond in the rough. Boy, we know there is that one person, that one prince waiting for us somewhere, if we can just find them. And while these movies are often told to the girls, you know, the fact is the same thing is said to the boys. After all, what point is being Prince Charming if there's no Snow White? And what point is it to be Prince Charmand if there's no Ella? And we know that there is that one prince or princess. And whether she's born a princess like Snow White or Jasmine, or whether she's a little cinder servant girl who can become a princess like Cinderella, we all know there is that one person, and if I can just find them. In fact, what we know is if we find the right person, it will fix everything about us, because we know beauty can tame the savage beast. Even if I am a beast, lazy, glutton, slug, awful person, if I find the right person, she'll change me and everything will be wonderful. That's Hollywood's formula. Find the right person. But that brings up the question that a comedian once asked: what if my one person lives in China? Or even worse, what if my one person just lives a block away? I just never meet him. There's a whole bunch of people in my neighborhood I never meet. Star-crossed lovers. That's the worst thing that we can find in Hollywood. Star-crossed lovers. People who are perfect for each other and they just never meet. Oh, how sad it is they aren't meeting. If they star-crossed lovers could just find one another, everything would be wonderful. That's Hollywood's formula for us. It's really all down to luck. It's really all down to luck. You might meet them, you might not meet them. I mean, maybe there's somebody up above that's trying to make it all happen, but then again, maybe not. Really, it just comes down to chance happening. You might meet Mr. Right as Sandra Bullock did in While You Were Sleeping, working at the toll booth, going into the subway, and you just know he's Mr. Right, and he falls onto the subway tracks or the railroad tracks, and you save him, and now you know, and now you're going to marry. But you're luckily find out, actually, he's not Mr. Right. It's his brother. And isn't it so wonderful that all of this happened to make sure I found Mr. Right? Or maybe one day you'll just be driving late at night, as Meg Ryan was in Sleepless in Seattle, and you'll be listening to a radio syndicated talk show, and somebody will come on, and you'll realize just by the sound of his voice, that's the guy. Or maybe like Tom Hanks in You've Got Mail, you'll just wander in on your 35th birthday to a chat room online. I wouldn't recommend that, by the way. But you might. And lo and behold, there is the perfect person. There is the perfect person. Or you might be on vacation like Steve Carell and Dan in Real Life and walk into a bookstore and boom, meet your brother's girlfriend but find out she's actually for you. It's all luck. Luck of the draw. But if you find the right person, that's where it begins. The second step is actually quite easy. The second step is fall in love. You found the right person, fall in love. In fact, you just practically can't help do this. If you found the right person, the next thing that is just going to naturally happen is you are just going to fall in love with them, as if it's something that you can do just like, oh, I accidentally fell into this hole. I just fall in love. And that's what happens, of course, in these movies. Now, it could take a long time for you to realize that you've fallen in love, as it did with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan and You've Got Mail, but it could happen in less than 3 days, as it did with Steve Carell and Dan in Real Life. I understand that you just fall in love. Now, in Hollywood, falling in love is just pure chemistry. It's just chemistry, and that's what it is literally. Please understand, that's exactly what it is literally. God has created our body so that when we are attracted to somebody, there are some chemical things that happen inside us. We start to produce endorphins. And these endorphins cause within us feelings of euphoria and goodwill. And it takes pain away. And it takes doubt and depression and sadness away. And so whenever we're around this person, it just feels wonderful. In fact, it's my chemical romance. It's a drug-induced high. Very literally, that is exactly what is happening. And so when I'm away from the person, the high kind of fades, and I begin to believe I can't live if I'm without this person. And so I have to be around them. And we call that a crush. That's falling in love. And it's a very natural process. And here's one of the things I'd like to share with you. I just want to put a stake in this. If you're already married, please understand that is a natural bodily function. It just happens. It's not something you can turn off. It's not something you can turn up. It's not something you can control just by saying, I'm not going to feel these things. And so if you're married, please understand that feeling doesn't come with just one other person in the world. There are folks who have gotten married and things have kind of toned down in the marriage and then they meet someone else. And who knows what it is about that other person? Maybe it's how they look. Maybe they've got something together in their life that you wish you had together in your life. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but all of a sudden you start to feel those feelings again. That's just a chemical reaction. It's not a sign from God that you married the wrong person. This will happen again and again and again. And I promise you, as with every drug-induced high, it'll go down if you don't feed it. It'll go away. And so please don't think that if you have that feeling after you've gotten married with someone other than your spouse, oh no, I made a mistake. This is just a very natural chemical reaction. And so what have you got to do? You've got to fall in love. And the chemical reaction, I'm not saying is all bad. The chemical reaction is a good thing. It allows for the attraction. It allows for the connection and it pushes it. And that's a great thing, but the problem is, like every chemical-induced high, is that it can cause us to make some really, really bad decisions. It can cause us to overlook some things. The reality is, in the real world, while it may happen on rare occasions, the street rat usually doesn't become an industrious person who holds down a job and pays the bills for his family. It just doesn't usually happen. And the beast, who is cruel and mean, doesn't usually find the right person and get toned down and become a handsome prince. And when we think about that, typically we believe it and we understand that that's not the way it's going to happen. But man, when I've got those feelings, when those chemicals and those endorphins are rushing through my body, I can overlook a whole lot of things. Every once in a while, Hollywood gets it right. Every once in a while, the entertainment industry has this shining moment where it tells us some things that really get to reality. One of my favorite songs, and Marita hates it, but one of my favorite songs is Tracy Chapman, Fast Car. I know some of you have never heard that. I'm sorry. I wish I could be more up to date with this sermon, but these are the songs I know. In Tracy Chapman's Fast Car, in the chorus, she really explains that kind of crush. She says, "I remember when we were driving in your car, speed so fast I felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had the feeling that I belonged. And I had the feeling I could be someone. Be someone. Be someone." That's the crush. That's that chemical high. And all it took was having a nice car and a strong arm. And she felt, "I belong." How many of us want to feel that? You want to feel that? I belong. It's a wonderful feeling. But it overlooks so much. And as she gets to the final verse of the song, she describes this man that made her feel like someone, who made her feel like she belonged, and the marriage that they've now got. Because finding the right person did not fix everything. You got a fast car. I got a job that pays all our bills. You stay out drinking late at night at the bar. You see more of your friends than you do of our kids. I'd always hoped for better. Thought maybe together you and me would find it. I got no plans. I ain't going nowhere. Just take your fast car and keep on driving. Of course, she needed to say that when they were dating, because now they're married. But that's the reality. And I'm not saying that the chemical attraction is all bad. We just have to keep it in its proper place and understand what's going on and make sure as we're making this choice about who is going to be our life's partner, our spouse, that we're not making it based on that chemical high, but we're making it based on something more solid. The third step, of course, in Hollywood is fix your hopes and dreams for fulfillment on that person. Fix your hopes and dreams for fulfillment on that person, because they are the one that is going to provide meaning and love and fulfillment and happiness. And so once you've got that person and you've got those feelings, you just stick. And of course, what that means is if that feeling ever goes away, maybe there is a problem. Because you fix your hopes and dreams on that person, when you find that right person, it doesn't even matter if it's right. Maybe you're already married to someone else, but you've now finally found the right person, as happened to Nicolas Cage, and it could happen to you. He had been married to Rosie Perez. But having given a lottery ticket, didn't have a tip for a waitress. He promised her, "I tell you what, if this lottery ticket wins, I'll share half of it with you." And it sure enough won. And he found out that waitress was actually the right one. And this entire movie is about justifying why it's okay for him to leave the wife he's married to and come to Bridget Fonda, because she's really the right one. Because if I miss out on the one, and it doesn't matter if I made mistakes in the past, if I miss out on the one, I'm not ever going to be happy. I'm going to be miserable. And so now I have a choice. Either follow my heart and find happiness, or stick with my commitments and be miserable. It's really kind of, well, I want to say funny. That movie just irritates me, by the way. But it's really kind of funny, because the whole thing is about how he had to keep his commitment to give her half the lottery ticket. and they just completely overlooked his commitment to his first wife? Is that ridiculous or what? But see, that's Hollywood. That's what we do in Hollywood. And so, as Luther Ingram sang in 1972, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. And I was actually born in 1973, so I actually remember the Barbara Mandrell version in 1978. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. And even today, that's the thing we're learning as it's bringing in same gender relationships. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. I got to follow my heart. Find the run. Fix my hopes and dreams on this person. It doesn't matter if they're already married. It doesn't matter if they're the same gender. It doesn't matter. Find the one. Fix all your hopes and dreams of fulfillment on this person. And then step number four, if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. If failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. Look, we get it. Every once in a while, you're going to make a mistake. You've lost that loving feeling. And so now it's time to find that loving feeling with somebody else. I just, you know what? I love you. I'm just not in love with you. And so I've got to move on. I've got to move on. And so what you want to do is you want to find that right person. Okay, this one was a mistake. We'll move on. Now I tell you what, here's what may happen. This would be cool. You might go to your high school reunion and fall and bang your head and be magically transported back to your senior year of high school, like Kathleen Turner and Peggy Sue got married. And even though you're trying to avoid the guy you married, you find out and remember exactly why you loved him, and you get back in that relationship. But you want to know what's going to happen? You want to know what happened to Peggy Sue after that movie was over? The endorphins went away again. And he still was the jerk that she was upset with. I mean, that's just what happens. It goes away. And so what's more than likely going to happen is you're going to have a string of people. I got to find this person. I got to find that person. I got to find this person. And you know what? I tried it with this one. It just wasn't right. I was watching NCIS last night where Leroy Jethro Gibbs said, I tried marriage. It didn't work for me. I got to find the right person. That's Hollywood's formula. Find the right person. Fall in love. Fix all your hopes and dreams on that right person. And if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. Let's talk about God's formula. I want to talk about God's formula. And I'm actually going to turn to a passage that is not one that we commonly think of about marriage, but it's about relationships. And it's Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, this passage is actually just about relationships. And it's actually about our relationships. It's about how we as a church can interact with one another in a godly, loving way. But it's interesting, when we get to chapter 6, he's actually going to give specific illustrations of how all of this relationship is supposed to apply in marriage, in parenting, on the job. And so I don't feel bad taking this and heightening it and applying it to our marriages. I mean, if this is how we should act, how much more in that commitment relationship that we've made with a spouse should we act in this way? Here's what he says. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Four things that I hope we recognize. God's step one. Hollywood tells us to find the right person. God tells us be the right person. Hollywood says find the right person. God says be the right person. How's this verse begin? Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. What do we need to work on? I need to work on me. I need to work on being a beloved child of God. I need to work on being an imitator of God. I'm going to tell you. Here's what this means if you're not yet married. If you're not yet married, quit falling in love with the idea of falling in love. Quit falling in love with the idea of being married. Be focused on being the right kind of person. Quit looking for the right kind of person and start being the right kind of person. Now, that doesn't mean ignore what's going on around you. But what it does mean is when you spend your time on your relationship with God, that's going to put you around people that spend their time on their relationship with God. And that's going to make it so much easier for you to find somebody who will be helpful. Work on being the right person. Now, if you're already married, here's what this means. All the problems you've got in your marriage, quit pointing at your spouse. Look at yourself. Work on you. Work on being the right person. Work on being an imitator of God. Now, I can't promise you that if you work on being an imitator of God, that your spouse is going to come around. I can't promise you that. But I can promise you this. If you work on being the right person, even if your spouse is not the right person, you will have the peace and the joy and the fulfillment from your relationship with God. So work on being the right person. Number two, Hollywood says, fall in love. God says, walk in love. God says, walk in love. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Walk in love. When I'm working on myself, I need to work on what it means to love my spouse. I need to walk in that love. And you know, look, I get it. Falling in love is super easy. Walking in love takes work. I think we know that by these people who say, well, I love you, I'm just not in love with you anymore. That's that kind of natural chemical thing. Really loving and actually being committed. And of course, by the way, if you ever say to somebody, I love you, I'm just not in love with you, so I have to divorce you, you've just lied to them. Because that's not love. Walk in love. And then he explains what that love looks like. It's love like what Jesus had. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. It's a sacrifice. As Jesus sacrificed himself. When we are behaving towards our spouse, it needs to be based on love. Like Jesus has loved us. Not a romantic love, but a kind of love that put Jesus on the cross. And you know where I'm going. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Many of you know. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's love. That's the kind of love we need to be pursuing in all our relationships, but especially in this relationship where we've given this lifelong commitment to somebody. Walk in love. And I'm not saying that if you are the right person and you walk in love, that it doesn't matter who you marry, your marriage is going to be great. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that if you work on you and you walk in love, you'll make a whole lot better decisions about who you marry. And that's the thing that we need to work toward. And then once we're there, then we'll be doing what's right. And we'll find that meaning and that fulfillment in our relationship with God. In fact, that leads us to point number three. Hollywood tells us, fix your hopes and dreams for fulfillment on that person. God tells us, fix your hopes and dreams for fulfillment on God. This may be the shocking thing. Even for Christians, this may be the most shocking aspect of a good marriage. That it's not about your spouse. It's definitely not about you, but it's not even about your spouse. It's about God. The most important relationship and the most important person in this relationship is God. And that's where our focus needs to be. Notice what it says there in Ephesians chapter 5 about Jesus and his example. He loved himself and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, he sacrificed for us. But the sacrifice was to God. Do you see that? And in our marriages, when we're sacrificing, it's not sacrificing to our spouse. It needs to be sacrificing to God. Because our focus is on God. Our focus is on loving him. And I am in this relationship not just because of you, but because of God. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was focused on his relationship with God, and that caused him to love us properly. When we in our relationships are focused on God and our sacrifices for God, to God, we'll have that love and that meaning in our relationship. And again, look, I cannot promise you if you do that, that your spouse will come around. I can't. But I can promise you if you do that, one, you'll be doing what's right, and two, you'll be getting your fulfillment from God, which is far better than anything you can get from another person. And that's the key that we need to be focused in on here. And so step number four actually does sound very similar. If failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. If failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. If in your marriage there are dark days, if there are moments when you feel like giving up, I understand that. I've been there. What do? I don't go try to find the right person. I go back to trying to be the right person. I don't try to fall in love. I try to walk in love. I don't fix all my hopes and dreams on my spouse or on some other person. I fix them on God. And I keep repeating those steps. I think about Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. As I think about Jesus' love for us, in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, when did God love us? For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. When did God love us? When did Jesus sacrifice to God for us? While we were sinners, while we were weak, while we were ungodly. That's when he did it. And so when should I focus on me? When should I be the sacrifice to God? Even when my spouse is weak and sinful and ungodly. That's when I'm supposed to do that. And I understand, of course, that Scripture provides one lawful exception, but that's another sermon. We need to understand the rule. Commitment. One man, one woman for life. And that happens not Hollywood's way. That happens God's way. Because, brothers and sisters, God's way works. See, I haven't said that in a while. Let's try that again. God's way, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'd like to ask you to compare your life. Which formula are you following? Don't be looking for love in all the wrong places. If you'd like to, you can put your notes away and pull out your songbook. The lyrics will be still up on the screen behind me. You can watch there if you prefer. Here's one of the reasons I like using this Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 to talk about our marriage. Because it talks about what Christ did for his church. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and following, we find out that what marriage is supposed to do is supposed to point to Christ and his church. That's what marriage is supposed to do. When a husband loves his wife and is committed to her, sacrificially committing to her, sacrificing to God on her behalf, that represents Jesus and what he's done for the church. And when the wife, respecting her husband, surrenders and submits and is a helper, that represents the church as it surrenders and submits to Jesus. And the only reason the church wants to do that is because Jesus gave himself up for us. Sadly, far too often, many of our marriages don't make that point. That's what we're striving for. And whether our marriage makes the point or not, it's still what Jesus did. Jesus loved us and gave himself up for us. Gave himself as a fragrant offering to God. For us. He died so that we can live. Would you like to live? I don't know what's going on in your marriage or what you hope to happen in some marriage in the future. But I know this, you can have the meaning and the fulfillment that comes by being in a great relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he went to the cross for you. And he will take your sins away. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. We would like to help you enter Christ. We would like to help you be married to God. Going through that Christian marriage ceremony, being baptized, immersed in water, raised to walk with a new life. We want to help you with that this morning. We're going to sing a song, and while we're singing the song, what we're doing is inviting you to come down to the front. And we'll bring you into Jesus Christ this morning.